Praise the Lord. Thank God for those of you that are joining us. This Present Truth is on the air. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for this time together in your presence. We're grateful to be able to gather together, share the Word of God. We commit this time into your hands, Lord, and as we open the Scriptures, we pray that you would open our hearts in our minds to the truth that Scripture reveals. We ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, open the eyes of our understanding and enlighten us to the truth of the gospel, the word of God, Lord, that is forever settled in heaven and can easily equip each one of us for our fitting in the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord God, for helping us today. We commit this time with these viewers into your hands, that you will minister life to each one. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Thank God for all of you that are joining us today. We want to give God praise for what he's been speaking to us and what he has highlighted in our hearts to be something that we need to consider as God is continuing to direct us by way of his word. We want to consider 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. I would like to share this verse, and I would like to put a tag on this text, if you will, regarding the purpose of every local church. The focus of every local church. Paul is bringing this out in this letter to the Corinthians. And in verse 5, he's saying that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm unto the end, you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto this fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. I'd like to highlight verse 10 as God pointing out through the Apostle Paul what to really look out for as members of a local fellowship, and what should the purpose of that local fellowship be trying to accomplish in Christ. What's the goal of our gathering? What is the why of the church service or celebration? Why? Why is it so important? Why is the Sabbath need to be kept holy? Paul brings this out in verse 10 as an issue with this particular church in Corinth. What were they dealing with? He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing. These believers, although this was a massive local fellowship, this church flourished rather quickly because of the location and the fact that the timing of these that were in dire straits needed to hear the gospel more than anything else. And there had come some structure to their fellowship, but envy, strife, and other things were blocking this church from flourishing during that time and in this city called Corinth, which was a port city similar to San Francisco. They were thriving because the Apostle Paul had made such an impact with the gospel. But false teachers had risen. Some of those that were a part of the fellowship got converted and started detouring in their beliefs, where the gospel of Jesus Christ had been undermined, so to speak. These believers had gotten contaminated. And because they were defiled, they were scattered around in the area. And those that were a part of the circumcision, those who were the false teachers of the day, they really did a number on those in the church at Corinth. So Paul is encouraging them to come back to what I believe should be the focus of every local church. What should the local church be focusing on, Pastor? How about, number one, speaking the same thing? That if we're a part of the same fellowship, why should we be speaking two different things concerning salvation or being saved or being filled with the Spirit? At what point are we going to be united in what we believe and fulfill the record in Ephesians chapter 4 that we all come into the unity of the faith unto the knowledge of the Son of God like unto a perfect man? That as the body of Christ continues to grow in understanding, we become that person, that man in Christ that's representing his body on the earth. This is part and parcel of speaking the same thing. And notice in verse 10, he's saying, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you do this. I'm beseeching you. This has to happen. The Amplified Classic says, I urge you, I entreat you, brethren. The Apostle Paul knows the issues that are going on in that region with that local fellowship. He knew the issues that were happening there. Even at one point, one of the members was actually sleeping with his father's new wife. And it had gotten back to the Apostle Paul. And he said, I have judged you as though I was there with you, already discerned what's going on. And I've turned this person over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his soul might be saved. Paul dealt with it in the spirit, in the place of prayer. But what is he attacking? Their division amongst themselves. He says, I urge you, speak the same thing. Speak the same thing. Brothers and sisters, if we're going to the same church, why should it be hard to speak the same thing? Aren't we all on the same page? I mean, you came to the church the reason I came to the church, right? I came to the church because of what the Lord did in my life. I came to the body of Christ and came into the body of Christ because Christ forgave me of my sin and washed it away in his blood. I'm so happy he did that. I just want to show up to show him how much I appreciate him. Every Sabbath day we have, every opportunity we have, I want to express my gratitude to God. He says, this body of believers, this church had gotten away from that to where they weren't even speaking the same thing. Oh, what church you go to? Oh, I go to Corinth Baptist. It's the only church here in the city. Oh, really? What's it like? Oh, I don't know. Oh, I thought you said you went. Oh, I do. But you don't know what's going on? No, not really. Isn't that the same in our day, brothers and sisters? People who say they go to church that don't know God can't really speak to what God is doing in that local fellowship. I'm amazed at how many people that attend church don't know what's happening in their own local church or what God is saying in that local church. What is the word of the Lord that is an emphasis in that house at this point? What is God speaking so strongly to that house that that house and everybody in that house needs to recognize what God is saying? That's how it was initially structured, and they got away from that. And Paul is saying now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, number one. And number two, that there be no divisions among you, because currently there was divisions. Oh, yeah, brothers and sisters, they were getting into it in a bunch of ways. And by the time you get to this same book of 1 Corinthians, if you go over to the third chapter, he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with strong meat, for hitherto or up until now you weren't able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." Why? Why can't they handle spiritual meat? How come they have to stay on milk? Verse 3, "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as mere men," or walk as men? So you see, brothers and sisters, he's in the first chapter in verse 10, he's like, don't be divided. Speak the same thing. Look at what he tells them. He says, "That ye all speak the same thing," number one, "that there be no divisions among you," number two, "but that ye be perfectly joined together," number three. Look at the emphasis. And he says, "I urge you, I beseech you." It's like this is the heart of Paul's prayer. Listen, you guys get along. What's wrong with you? What are you guys doing arguing and fussing with each other? What are these contentions coming from? Why? Why? He says that you be perfectly joined together. How? How can we be perfectly joined together? Two ways, and it's all coming out of verse 10. Number one, you're perfectly joined together when you have the same mind, or the same mentality. The same mentality perfectly joins us together in fellowship. Secondly, not just the same mind, but the same judgment, the same discernment. Are you discerning the same thing? Let me read this to you in the Amplified Classic. He says, "But I urge and entreat you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in perfect harmony and full agreement in what you say." Perfect harmony in what you say, in full agreement in what you say. So you can imagine that they were asked one person something about the local church and he would say something, then they'd ask the same member and he'd give them something totally different. They weren't on the same page. They weren't of one mind. They weren't in full agreement in what they were saying. They probably didn't know Christ on that level. So what we see from here is that it's very possible for believers to come together and yet be divided. A church large in its size, flourishing with members that don't know each other, that are strangers to one another, that are not family, that are not manifesting Christ's body in the unity of the Spirit, as he even says in Ephesians chapter 4. He says in Ephesians chapter 4, he gives instructions on how to stay together, because these in Ephesus, they didn't have that issue. He says, "I want you guys," verse 3, "to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." And then he goes into this dissertation about the oneness. There's one body, one Spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Do you see? He's trying to bring them back into unity, because it's possible for the body to be divided and congregations to be divided. Brothers and sisters, we think wherever a lot of people are going to church in one location, we just think that God is just moving by his Spirit and he's just so happy and go lucky. No, God's not happy at all when there's contention, when the leaders aren't saying the same thing, when the pastor's saying one thing and the associates are saying something different. And you got people in these large churches trying to carve out people to listen to them and to lift themselves up. No, it's a mess. It's a mess. It's a giant daycare center with those who are babes in Christ trying to provide leadership for other babies. No, God calls it division. God said in verse 10, "I beseech you by the name of Jesus Christ that you speak the same thing, that there be no divisions," where? Among you. Among you. Not when we leave. In among us, divisions. Somebody don't like something that was said. Somebody don't like the person teaching the new member class. Somebody don't like the way the children's ministry is running. Somebody doesn't like the fact that the media, you know, the mics go out or whatever, whatever. No harmony in the house, brothers and sisters. I know I'm talking to some people who are watching who go to a divided fellowship every week and wonder why nobody's on the same page. Let me help you. Paul said that we speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you. How do we need to carry ourselves? Perfectly joined together with the same mind in the same judgment. Brothers and sisters, if Paul mentions it here, then certainly it's possible. It's very possible to be able to live this out in our current fellowships. Maybe it could start with each one of us to make sure that we're speaking the same thing. Am I hearing what the leadership is saying? And is that what I'm saying? Am I in agreement with what I hear leadership saying? Or do I always have a problem with leadership? Brothers and sisters, it's hard to stay in the same local fellowship when every week you have a contention with the leader. Every week, something wrong with the pastor. You didn't like the hat his wife had on. You didn't like the bow tie that he was wearing. It reminded you of Malcolm. Whatever. People always have an issue with something. And why is that? Because we've begun to embrace division. We love diversity. That's what our nation is pushing. Diversity, diversity. God's not looking for sameness, but he is looking for oneness. Oneness in the body of Christ. Not sameness. We're not the same, but we can be one. He says that there be no divisions among you. So brothers and sisters, every single one of us should determine as a member of the body of Christ, I am not going to be the one to always be fueling contention. You know, you got those instigators, people who like to keep stuff going, you know, and it's not even, we're not coming to a head. We're not bringing things to a resolve. We're just starting up other things to burn in the fellowship that maybe won't be quenched if the Holy Spirit doesn't help us. So this is what could be happening, brothers and sisters. He says, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. The Amplified Classic says, I urge you and entreat you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in perfect harmony and full agreement in what you say, and that there be no dissensions or factions or divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in your common understanding and in your opinions and judgments. Now, brothers and sisters, if anything needs to come together in a local church, it's our opinions. Our opinions of one another. Our opinions of the pastor and the leadership. Our opinions of the body of Christ. They matter, brothers and sisters. They can easily cause blood clots in the body. And the Holy Spirit is not going to flow through those blood clots. We have to work things out. We have to have the same mind. We have to be, notice, perfectly joined together, he says. The Amplified Bible says that you be perfectly united in your common understanding. Perfectly united in your common understanding. What is he pointing at? A unity that is perfect. That when Christ brings us together in his body, it's supposed to function normally, just like your natural body functions. He says that you be perfectly joined together. Isn't that how the makeup of our physical body is? Everything about us is perfectly joined together. The finger is joined to the hand is joined to the arm is joined to the shoulder, so on and so forth. The way the natural body is so fearfully and wonderfully made, everything is perfectly joined together and it functions the way God created it. That's how the body of Christ is supposed to operate as well. That's how local churches are supposed to function. That's how a local fellowship is supposed to carry themselves. This is supposed to be our DNA, brothers and sisters, by the unity, the oneness, that there's no divisions, that we're perfectly joined together with the same mind and the same judgment. I want to bring this thought to a close, and I just wonder, those of you that are watching, what kind of member are you in your local church? Are you a troublemaker? Do you cause problems all the time? Do you sow division and discord? You know, one of the things that God hates in Proverbs chapter 6 is he who sows discord among the brethren. You know, you have these who are pretentious, like they don't understand, but they do. And all they're really trying to do is, with a sinister spirit, they're trying to sabotage the hearts of the babes in Christ. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. They love to be around the younger Christians so that they can impress them with knowledge and hopefully detour them from their faith in Christ. You would be amazed at those who come to church for the wrong reason. They don't come to church for the fellowship. They're coming for another reason. There may be some pretty sisters in the women's ministry or some handsome brothers in the men's ministry, and people come for that reason. Tired of being by myself. That's not the reason to go to church. When you come to a local fellowship, God desires that local fellowship all be of the same mind. And that, do you know how long that takes, brothers and sisters, to get everybody on the same page? That was Paul's prayer. And this should be our desire. I want to pray for us today, brothers and sisters, that God would just join us together as his body. That if we're causing issues and starting things, I'm praying in the name of Jesus that God in mercy would just show us the way that we're supposed to carry ourselves in Christ, that we would avoid contention and all these other things that are mentioned here. He says, in the Passion Translation, I urge you, my brothers and sisters, for the sake of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to agree to live in unity with one another. Living in unity is an agreement that has to be made. Have you determined to go to that church and be in agreement with what's being taught? Are you determined to be a part of what's going on instead of bringing division? Your opinion, your perspective, that's contrary to the leader or the pastors? Why do you have to be so contentious when the leadership is trying to explain what's going on? Why do you have to contend? How come you just can't listen and follow based on the same mind and the same judgment? I want to pray today, brothers and sisters. I see this as a major caveat in the body of Christ, and a lot of churches can't come together because they got these know-it-alls, these so-called prayer warriors, or these fake intercessors who can impress babies but have no substance. They're bringing division because they're always right. If the pastor says something, they will contend with him as well. They don't believe he's called. They believe somebody else should be the leader. Somebody else should be the pastor. Brothers and sisters, churches will never come together if our mindset is different, if our opinions and how we believe is different. We're supposed to be on the same page with what we believe, who we believe, and how we're going to carry that out. Would you like to pray about that today? Maybe there's issues in your heart that you know you need the Lord to help you with. You know that you've been responsible for sowing division or sowing discord or dividing a friendship because of something that you wanted. Or you coveted at something that somebody else had. Somebody else has a really, really close friend, and you wanted to be that close friend, so you divided them so that you could do that. That's not of God. That's not of God at all. And you need to repent and apologize and go and try to restore that relationship, because everybody in that local fellowship is supposed to be of the same mind and the same judgment. That's the will of God. Would you like to talk to the Lord about that today, my brother, my sister? is going to be a point of prayer for us today. That division in the local churches cease. That people stop contending with pastors because they have a master's degree or a doctorate. It doesn't matter. They're not called to do what that man of God is called to do. Stop it. Sit down. Listen. Learn. Or leave. Do them all a favor. Don't stay and contend. Leave and take your heretic message and everything else you're doing somewhere else. Take it to an unbelievers. Take it to the unbelievers. Don't bring it to the body of Christ. Take your own contentions, your own pet peeves, your own sacred cows that are wrong and false, and go somewhere else with them where you can execute your own will whenever you want. But it doesn't fit in the body of Christ. And to be in the body of Christ, you have to conform to the standards of Jesus. You can't change them and make them your standards. And Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus against these heretics. Those, Lord, that are raising up in local churches, bringing division. Father, we curse that foul spirit from the root in the name of Jesus. And we declare that that spirit of Judas be stopped and silenced in the name of Jesus. Usually, Lord, they have a direct access to the pastor and the leaders. Lord, we ask that you break the hold over the enemy in that leadership team and expose the false teachers. In the name of Jesus. Lord, if they're willing to repent, bring them back to a place where they can learn the gospel all over again and understand what it means to share the gospel. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus for our local church and other churches in the Bay Area, Lord, that we would speak the same thing, that there would be no divisions amongst us in our local churches and abroad as the body of Christ. Lord, I pray that we would be perfectly joined together, that we would be joined by having the same mind and joined by having the same judgment, discerning the same things, understanding the same things, that we would grow congregationally, that we would be on the same learning curve and mature in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers will perfect the saints to do the work of the ministry, and that the body of Christ will be edified, that we will all come together in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, like unto a perfect man. That, Lord, when the church rises up, it will be Jesus standing, because we're in perfect harmony with your will, your way, and your word. Thank you, Lord, that you will help us in this. And we bless you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. My brother, my sister, I want to thank you for this time that you have spent with us today. We'll be back by God's grace on next week. Until then, may God's riches be yours. We'll see you next time. God bless you.